Welcome to the Urban Complex, a system of interrelated, emotion-charged ideas, feelings, memories, and impulses. This name takes the definition and lays out what a listener should expect. A podcast where ideas, feelings, and memories collide, leading towards meaningful change. I'm co-host Chris Richardson. Please enjoy the journey with the Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
All opinions by Chris Richardson, dominant pop and podcast guests, are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Arizona State University, the Arizona Department of Education, or the Arizona Commerce Authority. Any endorsement of or messages from sponsors are solely supporting the production of this podcast. There is no relationship further than podcast purposes with any sponsor unless separately created with another entity. Enjoy the Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
All right, Chris, here we are another week. What's top of mind? What are you excited about for this week? Let me guess. I'm guessing I know what it is. It has to do with turkeys.
Yeah, you know, just got to, I got to make sure I get some exercise and prepare for Thanksgiving. And by the time this airs, it will have been Thanksgiving. So, you know, it's the holidays. And think about this. We started this whole thing in January, and we're now coming through our first holiday season. It's amazing how this year has gone by. So it's preparing for the holidays and the fact that we're coming up on episode 50. It's just been crazy what's been going on with this. And I know we're having a lot of fun, but that's just on my mind. How about you?
Yep. Same. I can't believe when you said it's almost been a year. You're right. It has. Time flies. It's absolutely wild. Just excited to be on this journey with you. It's been a lot of fun.
It's neat how effortless, like, people want to be part of it. They always say yes. Like, we've had very few, most of the ones, I think there's only one person that's actually declined because they just started their role and they changed and they weren't comfortable until they knew more and they just delayed until a little bit. So that's it. And then they, like, lots of people give us like great ideas and they open the door. So I don't know. It's just nice. It flies when you're having fun, though. That's for sure. Our guest today, Ryan, tell us, how do you know him? Anything we should be aware?
Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect kind of segue right into Ryan. I mean, Smart Cities is a journey. We're all going through this process together. We're meeting new people. I met Ryan a long time ago, and we've been on this journey together ever since. Way back when I was working with the city of Phoenix, I believe I was up in Denver speaking at a conference, or it was actually, I think, at the second Smart Cities Connect conference in San Antonio. That's actually where we met, now that I think about it. And we've just helped each other out along the way, because at that time, we were just starting the Smart City journey here in the city of Phoenix. He was just getting started in the city of Colorado Springs. And so we've always stayed in close contact over the years. And he's just done a tremendous, tremendous job and showed great leadership up in the city of Colorado Springs. I'm so excited we're finally able to get him on the show to tell his story, because I think a lot of people will, one, learn a lot from him, but then two, just realize what a great guy is. And if you need help or anything, you can always reach out to him, because he's a terrific leader.
Well, cool. I haven't met Ryan, so I'm excited. Should we get him on?
Yeah, let's bring him in. Here it comes.
Support for this episode of The Urban Complex comes from Worldwide Technology.
What if we could connect people to new possibilities, turn thinking into a way forward, solve problems before they become a problem, and share the future with everyone? We can. At WWT, we connect businesses to technology to make the impossible possible, to reach better decisions faster, to accelerate progress. Together, let's make a new world happen.
Ryan, please let Dom and I give you a warm welcome to our podcast, The Urban Complex. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thank you, gents. I appreciate being here. I've been a big fan of The Urban Complex, and it's good to see the progress that it's made. And Dom, it's always good to see your smiling face as well.
Yeah, great to see you, man. Excited to have you on.
Absolutely.
Great to know someone that has listened to a few as well. So we'll have to get some tips while we go through. But we've seen that the best way to build affinity to the guest is just to start with about you. What do you want our audience to know about you, Ryan, as an individual?
Sure. So I guess to start, I'm a native of Colorado, which we're kind of becoming an endangered species anymore with all the growth and development that we've had in Colorado, but definitely born and raised. My wife was born and raised here in Colorado as well. Went to school here in Colorado Springs at Colorado College. Got a degree in economics, an MBA from Regis University. But after school, went chasing my career in other states. I actually moved out of the state for about 8 years, mainly with one company by the name of Holcim. They're a large, a global leader in construction materials, and moved to Michigan, upstate New York, and Denver with that company, working kind of across North America in kind of a focus on procurement and contracting and project management is kind of my initial background before getting into local government. But it's been an interesting journey, and wanted to get back home, closer to home, to Colorado Springs area. I'm from a small town south of Colorado Springs, but once my wife and I started having children, wanted to get closer to family, and really just look for an opportunity to move closer to home, and have found an opportunity with the city of Colorado Springs, and have been here for almost 8 years now, which almost as long as I've been in the private sector, which is just hard to believe. But now we have four kids. Our oldest is nine, 7, 5, and 2. We're, I always say we're a family of ours because I married my wife is, her name is Rhiannon. My name Ryan, and even my siblings are all ours as well, but we continue the tradition. And so now it's Rylan, Rieslin, Riker, and Rhett are all.
I love it.
So, oh, wow.
It can get confusing awesome. In the household, who you're praising or who you're having to yell at that time. But
you need a fifth and really screw with people and make it an S name or something.
Yeah. No, we've definitely had that debate, and I cry uncle at 4. I think we're good.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, before we jump to your current role and a little bit about Colorado Springs, I saw an interesting company or entity you worked for, Lafarge Holcim, I think. Yeah. What was that about? It was kind of an interesting philosophy or something. I don't know. I hadn't heard of them. Do you mind sharing what that was about?
Yeah. So at the time I worked for them, their name was Holcim. They've merged with two of the three global cement manufacturing and construction materials company to become Lafarge Holcim. That acquisition happened after I left, but it was a great opportunity. You know, after college, I kind of wanted to do the business route. I actually wanted to be an entrepreneur, but now I work in local government, so kind of not the exact path I was looking for, but happy nonetheless. But during my private sector work for Holcim, or now Lafarge Holcim, I worked in Michigan. It was really around commodities. So I worked for the North American Procurement Organization. And I know procurement isn't typically known for innovation, and there's a lot of policies and things that you have to uphold. But it was a really innovative team that I worked for and with there in Michigan. And we purchased electricity, natural gas. We installed some renewables at our cement manufacturing facilities and other facilities that we had across North America. So it was a really good introduction. And from there, I moved on to a few different positions. Like I said, in upstate New York and city of Denver, I was a regional procurement manager for Colorado and Nevada. So I spent a lot of time.
They just had a really interesting tagline, building for the people and the planet or something like that. And I was like, man, I wonder what that was about. But all right,
And real quick, it was Holcim was I was actually the fourth generation Holcim employee, so it was a little unique for me to go outside of cement.
We have cement in our blood,
but my great grandfather started at the cement manufacturing facility that we have in really my hometown of Penrose, just outside of Penrose is where that cement manufacturer was and still is today. My grandfather was born on the property.
Oh my gosh.
For 30 years. So we have, I think it was over 130 years of service to hold. So seen a lot of changes over the years.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I can imagine. It's awesome. All right. Well, so tell us, like, what is, for those that may not know about Colorado Springs, anything that you want to highlight at the city? And then, of course, tell us about your current role. Just get some backdrop before we dig into some of the specifics you're doing.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of Colorado Springs and the state of Colorado, as you'll probably, if you haven't already, you'll probably get more of throughout the podcast. But being a native and working for the city of Colorado Springs, I never expected myself to be in local government, like I said, and it was really just an opportunity to get closer to home. And it was a job opportunity in procurement. So I actually started as a contract compliance manager when I started at the city of Colorado Springs. And really starting in municipal government at this time over the past 8 years in Colorado Springs has been extremely exciting. Growing up here, Colorado Springs wasn't necessarily known for what it is today. It was a growing city, but definitely not as vibrant, not as much economic development. not as much diversity, I would say, growing up here and going to school here back in the early 2000s. So now it's, up about 300,000 people. Close to 500,000 people in the city of Colorado Springs, about 700,000 in El Paso County. It's the largest city geographically in the state of Colorado, with nearly 200 square miles. Second largest city in the state of Colorado. We're just south, about an hour of city of Denver. But we've been recognized over the past few years as one of the most desirable cities in the U.S. By U.S. News and World Report. Have a lot of great things going for us in terms of the growth and development. And that leads to a lot of opportunities as it relates to smart cities to grow as our city grows and implement and integrate as much technology as we can. My path with the city, again, started with a contract compliance manager. Mayor John Southers, who is our current mayor, unfortunately, he's term limited, so he has about a year and a half left. But shortly after he became mayor, it was really a kind of a top-down approach, but very collaborative approach related to smart cities. And he has gone to the National Conference of Mayors and really understood the benefits or the potential benefits of smart cities and really tasked me with looking into starting up a smart cities program, which I was very fortunate to be a part of. So it started as kind of other duties as assigned. We launched our smart cities journey back in 2017. It was, me doing it part time and kind of a coalition of the willing. Had some other great colleagues early on that helped kind of start up the program, which has now led to the office that it is now. So we have 5 full-time employees, not including myself, in the Office of Innovation. We have a number of different smart cities projects that we're pursuing and look to expand upon as we move forward. And really engaging our community around smart cities. So it's been an interesting journey. My title now is the Director of Support Services. Was fortunate enough to be promoted to a director level in early 2020, but still oversee the Office of Innovation and very actively involved in the innovation work that we're doing.
That's awesome. Right. I love your journey, man. It's been so fun being able to know you and watch you kind of throughout the time at Colorado Springs. So I know we've talked a lot about this over the years, but this is one of our favorite questions for the guests, just to get their perspective. So, sure. what's your view of smart cities? What's your definition of smart cities, and kind of how do you bring that in to everything you've done and everything you've built inside the city of Colorado Springs?
Yeah. This is I always enjoy the responses on the podcast from the various folks that you have on. I like the term smart cities. It has it's gotten a bad name maybe per se over the past few years, but I think it's still a very valiant effort and worth keeping it smart cities. I am definitely a proponent of smart cities in general. But in terms of what it means to me, our mayor, we live on the base of the Rocky Mountains. There's a Pikes Peak, which is a 14,000 foot peak that we're right on the base of. And the vision that the mayor has for the city is to create a society that matches our scenery. And so to play on that a little bit, it's I view it as kind of creating a smart city that matches our scenery through innovation, technology, and collaboration. And so that's a very high level vision of our city and our smart cities program, but definitely one that we embrace and everything that it means.
That's awesome. And wow. When did you say you launched the smart cities program officially?
Yeah, so we started talking about it, I would say, in late 2016. Okay. And, early on was doing a lot of research of what other cities do. We attended the second Smart Cities Connect Conference and Expo in San Antonio. I think that's where you and I initially met, Dom. Yep. I've been over a drink or two. Who knows?
Yeah.
So you want your city to be daunting. I know, and what I mean by that, you said it's got to match your scenery. I was in Colorado Springs and hiked from the hotel to the top of Pikes Peak. It's brutal, and I had a cousin that was throwing up because it was like so brutal to get up there. But I love how you're trying to match the scenery. That's really
yeah, cool. Daunting. Probably not the word that we would choose.
It was like 14-mile climb.
The if you try to hike a 14er in Colorado, you definitely have to be in shape.
And we had just come to elevation that day too, so it was brutal.
It's tough. Actually, I have an employee, Roger Austin. He has the record for the Manitou Incline, which is a pretty daunting mile straight up not all the way to the top, but a mile straight up. And he did something like over 1,000 Manitou Incline runs in 1 year. And he still goes up Bar Trail every morning before work. He's just an animal. But well, beautiful place to live.
Yep, exactly. Well, let's zoom out real quick. So I know you're on the board of the Colorado Smart Cities Alliance. Talk to us. What's that organization? Tell our audience what that organization is all about.
Yeah. So, and actually it started back in 2017 when at the Smart Cities Connect Conference and Expo in San Antonio, I met Jake Rashavi there, who was formerly with the Denver South EDC. And he had a vision. He was one of the co-founders of the Colorado Smart Cities Alliance, him and John Tolva, who is also a national leader in smart cities. But it was really so... Oh. Sorry.
No worries.
Unfortunately.
Hopefully not bad.
Yeah, hopefully not. But yeah, so we were one of the founding cities for the Colorado Smart Cities Alliance. I think it started with about 12 cities and other private sector partners. And that's also grown to over 20 cities and government wow. entities, a number of private sector, nonprofit, higher education, and even philanthropic organizations. They become the Alliance. But so we've been kind of an early proponent of the Alliance. I've been on the board. I'm now on the executive committee as well. And it's really been a way to, similar to what you all are trying to do here with the Urban Complex, is share best practices, lessons learned, make connections, especially look at projects where there is a regional approach to it. You know, air quality is one that we're looking at in Colorado Springs and learning from a lot of what's happened up in Denver with their air quality program and monitoring that through air monitoring sensors on streetlights. So it's really just a way to look to regionalize projects, share in our efforts, and really just learn from each other. There's a number of different efforts that we do through the Alliance. We pre-COVID, we had a lot of on-site, in-person civic engagements, civic labs that we would learn from private sector and public sector partners. We still do that through the digital age, through COVID, but also look to scope projects. You know, we've scoped a number of projects through the Alliance where they're looking at AVs, for example. AVCO is a new program where we're looking to deploy autonomous vehicles in a number of cities, Colorado Springs, hopefully being one of them. But it was just launched with the city of Golden and the Colorado School of Mines. They've actually launched a number of autonomous vehicles connecting their campus to their downtown core of Golden. So, you know, looking for opportunities like that, looking to share and grant opportunities. It's always better for a lot of the grants to have a defined scope and to have a lot of regional and statewide support through that. So it's really been a great organization to be a part of. And what I'm really excited about is the National Smart Coalitions Partnership, which I know you're heavily involved with as well. So this is a brand new effort, but really it's the coalition of coalitions related to smart cities, if I could frame it that way. So really, you know, Colorado, we have the Colorado Smart Cities Alliance. In Arizona, Dom, with your leadership there, it's you guys have a coalition and a partnership there. I think it's North Texas, Illinois, North Florida. I'm probably excluding a few that are part of that coalition, but it's similar to what you're doing here, what we're doing in the state of Colorado. Yep. It's really learning from best practices and lessons learned across the nation as we all kind of continue our smart cities journey forward.
Yeah, I know it's really new, but we're really excited about that, you know, National Smart Coalitions partnership. I think it's just, again, it's going to be a great way for all of us to just help accelerate our own efforts, share best practices, and actually just get to meet each other, build these relationships. Because I think ultimately, you know, that's what makes our community stronger is these partnerships, these relationships that we can really leverage. And you know, we've been watching, just want to say kudos to you and the team running the Alliance. We've been watching that for years. And if anyone's listening, especially on the industry side, please reach out. They're a great group to work with. I think you'll find a lot of benefit from what you all are doing there. So just great job on the leadership. Any other projects you want to maybe highlight? I don't know if there's anything. I know the autonomous vehicle one, but any other maybe projects that the Alliance is thinking about working on?
The Alliance is surfacing. Like what are you guys zoning in on as something to highlight regionally or across the nation?
Yeah, I know for traffic management is another one, mainly in the Metro Denver area, because there are different pockets. The city of Denver is obviously the biggest city in Metro Denver, but there's a lot of suburbs and surrounding cities, where the citizen doesn't know when you change from one city to the next, per se, unless you're, you know, heavily involved and engaged and see all the signage that's up. But there are efforts around mobility, a lot of efforts around mobility on traffic signals, and just integrating mobility more efficiently across jurisdictional boundaries.
Yeah, that's complete sense with like state departments of transportation. I know for a while I would go to Estes Park every year and drive through Denver and Colorado Springs on the way, and you could see why you'd want to be looking holistically at traffic for those routes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think another one that we're getting more into as we move forward, especially with some of the federal stimulus money that's come down, is digital literacy or bridging the digital divide. So I think they're, especially from the state, is going to be receiving a lot of funding that will be available to cities. And so that's an area that we think the Alliance could play very well in, just because it's aligned with our mission of what we're doing and connecting.
Great point. All right, so let's bring it back to Colorado Springs. We saw that you were listed as one of the eight or top smart cities to watch recently. What makes Colorado Springs smart? Where are you headed with the program? What are you excited about?
Yeah, well, I always clarify when we're talking about smart cities that just because we're a smart city or trying to become a smart city now doesn't mean that we weren't smart before. You know, we've done a lot of things as a city.
Colorado Springs wasn't the dumbest city in America.
Someone wants to be the dumbest city, right? Okay. Which is another reason why I like the whole smart cities.
That's great.
But early on, you know, we really have taken a programmatic approach to our smart cities program, which we call Smart COS. So we've really taken an inventory on what we've already done. You know, we've done smart irrigation on our parks and open spaces. We've deployed red light cameras, body worn cameras, a number of different technologies. We have a lot of fiber in the ground related to our traffic signals. So early on, we engaged our community, engaged our key stakeholders to develop a strategy. And that's one of the things that we've learned early on. From others like Dom and others who regularly participate in those conferences is, you know, we have to have a strategy. We have to have a vision of where we're going. We can't just be chasing the next best thing, the next shiny object, even though I like shiny objects and we should still pursue those as well. But we want to do it with a purpose. We want to make sure that it's solving a problem that we have. And so very early on, in 2017, we actually had our first ideation summit with the help of a private sector partner at the time was Panasonic that helped facilitate that with us, with a number of other private sector partners as well. But we basically spent a full day with a lot of key stakeholders. And the first half of the day was just visioning. It was talking about what is it to become a smart city? What are some things that we're already doing? What are some visionary things that we'd like to pursue as Colorado Springs? And then the second half of the day was more workshops on how do we define what initiatives or what programs or what projects we should pursue as a city. So out of that, we had a number of, we have a published smart city strategy on our website. And there were 11 different concepts outlined in that. And in those 11, we've touched on pretty much all of those. And some have had varying success. Some have been very successful. Others were not able to pursue for funding funding challenges, or maybe we didn't see the value that we thought we would initially. But that was our initial guiding document on what should we pursue. So it was very broad, but still focused. 11 concepts seems like a lot, which it is, but considering how many concepts are out there for smart cities, it was, we right. thought it was still pretty focused.
That's good.
Even building upon that, some of the initiatives that we're currently working on weren't even identified in that plan, such as 5G and digital literacy, which are some of the things that we're actively pursuing as of now. So we've had some benefit with that plan early on, and then turning that plan into action by deploying a number of pilot projects with the intention of scaling these projects as best we can. We're fortunate to have a municipal utility. So our utility is hand in hand with us. They own the streetlights, but you know, we all report to the same city council, doubles as the utilities board. So we have a number of projects that we collaborate with them on. They're probably our number one key stakeholder, and probably not even a stakeholder. We're kind of co-leading this effort across our region. They're doing a lot of work in AMI, advanced metering infrastructure, microgrids. We partnered on an EV readiness plan, which will be published here in the near future. Smart streetlights is a lot easier when you have a municipal utility in learning from other communities. Streetlights can be very controversial infrastructure. So it's great to have a municipal utility that we just all, we you know, naturally have a great collaboration with. So those are some of the, at a very high level. I mean, I could talk the hour of each one of those projects, as we all know, talking about smart cities.
Yeah, you know, we just had our last guest, Jen Tiff from Syracuse, talk about how amazing they had a successful streetlight program go well. So that's good to see that you weren't, pushed away from that. Before we jump more into the Colorado Springs utilities and kind of how the formation of Smart COS came, I'm curious, this is kind of one of those small world moments. I have a funny feeling. I know this would be weird. Who was your Panasonic sponsor? Was it George?
I
had this funny feeling. I met him before. In fact, Dom, when we were at CES, I met him. He wasn't with Panasonic anymore. He was just leaving. I think he's now with Honeywell or something. I just had a funny feeling that that might have been who was behind it. It's such a small world in this space. So
George is just, he's a great guy and extremely knowledgeable. I mean, with smart cities, you know, in order to be an expert in it, you got to know local government, you got to know utilities, you got to know telecom, you got to know so many different complex industries. And that's what I'm striving to be, as knowledgeable as someone like George, because George is just a great guy. So he was there. We keep in close contact even now with that he's moved on to Honeywell. But regardless of the company, he's been involved in emerging technologies most of his career.
That's awesome. So let's talk about, you talked a minute ago about the fact that Colorado Springs Utilities is under kind of the same umbrella organization of the state. But it sounds like that's who you partner with to create Smart COS. Let's talk a little bit about the partnerships. I think those types of stories help give inspiration to others' ideas. And then as well, you talk about some of the projects high level. Is there anything that shows early results you want to highlight in some quantified way, or just to give people context of what's being successful?
Sure thing. Yeah, the partnership, again, it was pretty natural already. One of the things that, you know, I know there's been some smart cities who it's kind of been a grassroots bottom-up initiative, and you pitch the mayor's office on it, and you might have the program that way. We've had the fortune of having our leadership of the city really driving this and being champions for a smart cities program, starting with our mayor, John Suthers. But at the time, it was the mayor Suthers, the CEO of utilities, and city council who basically issued a proclamation. So a formal agreement at city council that we're going to be pursuing smart cities. Awesome. We're going to dedicate resources to it. And really, that's been the foundational element of that. After that, a lot of the pieces fell into place. And so I know that doesn't work for every city, but it has helped. If you do have that leadership, elected official support, who can promote that across your city and engage those stakeholders, if they say, hey, Mayor Suthers is going to be at this ideation summit as well, providing some remarks, I'd love for you to attend. It helps get that engagement across our community. So we've really been fortunate in that regard. And they've really, on both sides of the house, on city and our utility, have been driving innovation long before we are pursuing our smart city journey. And so it's a culture that they've built over time. And we continue to expand upon that and engage a number of departments. And so everything that we do, there's not one effort that we do that's centralized in the Office of Innovation. We might be the project manager, but in other areas, we might be supporting a project that another department's working on, or simply just being a cheerleader for other departments in the work that they're doing. And so even though we've had that top-down kind of direction provided to us through Smart COS, it has generated a lot of grassroots efforts and kind of bottom-up engagement throughout not only city departments, but across our entire city. We have a strong military presence here. We have four military installations. We have higher education institutions with University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. The U.S. Air Force Academy is here in Colorado Springs. Colorado College, my alma mater, Pikes Peak Community College. There's efforts to engage even some of those universities through the Quad Innovative Partnership, a Catalyst Campus, which is another kind of incubator around entrepreneurship and business development around mainly our defense industry. So there's a lot of kind of groundwork that's been laid through Smart Cities, but it has become more of a smart communities program.
Yeah,
and really telling the story of our region and even beyond the region of the state and beyond the state now. Right.
Yeah. That's terrific. And I think it is a good piece of advice because, you know, we do have a lot of mayors and elected officials that listen to this as well. And you can see what you can do if you kind of take that leadership role and kind of, you know, drive a little bit more of a top-down approach. You can really ignite, you know, an entire organization just from that show of leadership. And I think that's, you know, a kudos to your mayor for having that foresight to really lead on the smart city effort. And look, and then provide you with the responsibility, but then the freedom to do what you do best and create this terrific program that's grown and blossomed since. I think that's just a perfect, you know, piece of advice for a lot of elected that's out there. I oftentimes hear, well, I don't know what smart cities are, so I don't want to lead on it, you know, because it's kind of confusing. But sometimes sure. By just showing that leadership, being that vocal partner, you can really ignite your entire organization.
Yeah, yeah. And we still have a heck of a long way to go to become a smart city. It is a journey more than a destination, but it has helped that momentum and keeping that momentum and hiring, you know, qualified folks and engaging just passionate people. I mean, coming from the private sector to the public, there were passionate people in the private sector. I don't want to downplay that at all. But in the public sector, it is just amazing the passion that people have for the work that they do and truly being public servants. And I think someone who didn't want to become that in my career path, it's been inspirational to be working side by side, which is very passionate, community focused people across the city and across our communities.
That's awesome.
So we do have a couple standard questions we ask every guest, or at least one's relatively new, but the ones we've asked someone. What if there was something we could do to help, or if someone was listening and you wanted them to help bring that forward, what would it be? Like, what do you need to do more of, or what do you need to get the word out, or what problem has been elusive?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, keep doing the urban complex. You guys have to keep doing this podcast. I'm a big fan of podcasts in general, and this is definitely on my rotation of podcasts. I appreciated a lot of the folks that you've had on. I've learned a lot from a lot of the folks that you've interviewed. So first, keep doing that.
Well, thanks for the support.
and just keep making the connections. I mean, as Dom mentioned, you know, the connections, I think, are what is most important. And you pick up little tidbits of information from your connections that you have, whether it's through a collaboration. It might be, hey, here's a great opportunity to partner with an organization, or here's a new technology that a startup has, or here's a great perspective that a former government official has on, or a current government official has on smart cities. You know, I know, Dom, one of the things that you've taught me early on that has stuck is just to embrace the chaos. I remember you quoted that on a panel. Early
on. I thought Dom says create the chaos. He says
maybe it's evolved to create the chaos. I don't know. But that's always stuck with me. And you pick up those little things that just really help you, as an individual, as a smart city practitioner, but also as, you know, if you're trying to start up a program or things like that, it's just inspirational to get those perspectives. So keep making those connections. And you know, the National Smart Coalitions Partnership, I think that's another great opportunity. So, you know, if you could help keep promoting that, I know there's a lot of, I think there's a half a dozen alliances or coalitions that are part of that, but keep spreading the word on that, because I think that's a great opportunity and a great ecosystem that's being built that will continue to grow and expand across the U.S.
All right. Well, we can keep doing those things. Those are good ones. Thank you. We also know that you can't do these things on your own. And so we've kind of created this question about appreciation. And a lot of times the people that appreciate would be great guests on the show too. So selfishly, is there anyone you want to show that you helped you own way? And what I mean by selfishly is, if you think they're a great fit, call that out too. We'd love to have them on the urban complex, if it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, this is there's been so many. And Dom, you've honestly been one of them early on as an inspiration when you were back with the city of Phoenix. You know, I mentioned George. George was definitely on my list. George Karyanis, now with Honeywell, was with Panasonic. Just a great guy and taught me so much when we were just kind of starting off our smart cities journey. And he's really helped us set this foundation around smart COS. You know, beyond that, I'm sure we're running short of time. I don't have enough time to thank everybody or acknowledge everybody, but I do want to give a shout out to the Car Smart Cities Alliance Executive Committee. These are folks that are just extremely intelligent. They understand smart cities, and they're very passionate about this work. And so it's been great to work with them over, you know, since we've started the Smart Cities Alliance. I mentioned a few of them already. John Tolva, he was with the city of Chicago as a CTO, worked, he was a co-founder of the Alliance, co-founder of CityFi, and now he works for Colorado University. He's getting more into the academia side. Great, great guy. Jake Rashavi, he was another co-founder of the Alliance. He's now transitioned from Denver metro area to helping kind of a rural Colorado community in Chaffee County become smart and continue to drive that innovation and economic development. He's been phenomenal. Our executive director, Tyler Spiedak, I know, Dominic, you know him and have been working close with him. And we're doing the national partnership. Another great, highly intelligent person to have on board. Julia Richmond, she is the, I believe she's the deputy executive director for the state's IT department, the state of Colorado. Another one, just phenomenal personality, very intelligent, has a lot of private sector consultative experience, and was the CIO for the city of Boulder. Now she's moved on to the state. So she has just a wealth of knowledge and perspective. And last and certainly not least is my friend Seth Hoffman. He's a city manager for the city of Lone Tree. Lone Tree is kind of a smaller suburb outside of Denver. It's kind of in the Denver South area. And he's doing a lot of innovative things as well, mainly around advanced traffic signal timing and things like that. But has offered a very good perspective. And that whole team has just been an honor to be a part of, honestly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is great. So it's great. We haven't had someone give a whole team props yet. That was
perfect.
All right.
I loved it.
Sorry, it might have been a little long-winded, but
we love it. It helps us know what's going on, gives the context, calls it out. It's perfect. So
I think it shows the strength and the power of that collaboration right there. That's incredible. That list of people were amazing.
And I appreciate you giving the backgrounds of what they're doing, what their focus is too. I think it just shows, to Don's point, that there's depth in why that exists. So, all right. Well, with that, the Urban Complex gives a big note of thanks to today's guest, Ryan Trujillo, Director of Support Services at the City of Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. You as well.
The Greater Phoenix Economic Council, known as GPEC, was named the top economic development organization in the U.S. in 2020. As a data-driven regional organization, GPEC serves as a strategic partner to companies across the world as they expand or relocate to other markets. Over the past 31 years, GPEC has fueled the Greater Phoenix economy by helping more than 850 companies and creating more than 154,000 jobs. Leaders in Greater Phoenix are building the nation's most innovative and connected smart region through The Connective. This community-driven applied research model deploys technology at scale. For more information about GPEC, visit gpec.org.
All right, Chris, that was Ryan. Awesome, right? What'd you think?
Yeah, you know, I think I'll start with just the fact that there was bold leadership that created the umbrella to get moving, which is not normally the case. Usually something comes up to them, then they get comfortable, and then the leadership is defined. But it sounds like that's the way it happened. Like the leaders saw the opportunity. And it was the other thing that was interesting is that it started with coming together with the utility company, which some of the early wins were around, what do you say, advanced metering, microgrid, EV readiness, even streetlights, which, you know, as we noted, there's been a couple of recent successes there. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting, that the leadership gave the vision and created space for people to operate under, and that they partnered with a different starting group, which is utilities, than I think we've heard so far. So I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, I love that idea of having that strong leadership at the top to really champion it and then provide resources to the organization, resources and life to the organization to get moving, right? Yeah. Where you're not just out there struggling to piece something together. Here, it seems a really in sync team from elected leadership to staff. And I think that's why you've seen such success that Colorado Springs has seen in their Smart City program. And another thing I really loved, again, is this being very strategic early on and developing the strategy, identifying specific, you know, what is it, 11
projects, concepts, yeah.
that they're going to target. But that sends a clear signal out to your citizens, to industry partners, to university partners, to say, here's where we want to focus. And here's, you know, where our interests lie. So it's a really clear signal. And then of course you can be flexible. And as you mentioned, you know, some didn't work.
I love that they were honest with where it didn't work, totally. But at the same time, by having 11, you know, some of those fruits are going to bear fruit too. And the other thing that was really interesting, in fact, it was a conversation I was just having today. Someone was asking me, what would I do as a leader to spur innovation? And what they did in the very beginning was bringing this cross-functional group together to ideate together, to have a third party that helps that process. And, it was a third party Panasonic, but who cares if they can spark the movement and you get the leadership buy-in and the ideas surface because you're collaborating together. That's just the recurring themes that you have to do this together. It's not like the most brilliant person sits in a room, comes up with the 11 things themselves and just says, here's where we're going.
Yeah.
It's a process that by collaborating that makes it happen.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's how they were able to build buy-in to these 11 and get people really excited and interested in it. And like you said, there were new things that popped up that weren't on those 11 and they just, you know, attacked it as well. But again, just doing that up front, I thought was terrific. And, you know, just honestly, personally, what I really love about Ryan's story is that, and I think this is kind of, you know, the story of the urban complex and this whole network of just cool people, for lack of a better term, we're meeting. You know, he's not content with just being in Colorado Springs and, you know, having the great program there. You know, he's one of the founding members of Colorado Smart Cities Alliance, which is bringing cities together from all over the state of Colorado, right? He's now really helping with the National Smart Coalitions Partnership. Again, it's understanding that, hey, we're all in this together. So, you know, don't be afraid to get back or start something that's not specifically to your community, but can, obviously help others and things like that. I just love that as a person. He's always given back and he's always tried to help other people, right?
Yeah, so he's lifting people up too. I mean, you can tell he's very passionate about the coalition. He highlighted every individual, shared a little bit about them. So, you know, they're building the culture that's going to make Colorado have some legs, right? Things that move beyond borders of individual. Totally. We've talked about that before. And willing to partner with at the national level too. I know you've clearly had line of sight to what he's been doing for quite some time, and we'll see what resonates on a national level from all that work. There were a couple of things I highlighted too. So
yeah, really, really excited to watch his journey in the city of Colorado Springs journey. I'm sure they'll be up in, you know, probably top five. I'm sure not too long of smart cities in America, but that's all great leadership by Ryan. So really excited to just watch their journey proceed. So urban or the cracks in the pavement, what do you have for us this week? What's the article?
I found one called
Transit
Leaders Debate Urban Mobility Myths Busted by the Pandemic. And what one thing that jumped out, it was at Commotion in LA. And sure enough, our friends that were on the podcast from the Office of Extraordinary Innovation, LA Metro, their boss, who they referenced, Stephanie Wiggins, was a big part of the conversation. And the thing that jumped out was something that we heard from them, which was that we need to rethink this and think about equity in our mobility. But this stuck out specifically. This quote from the general manager of the Los Angeles Department of Transportation, Salita Reynolds, observed that transit agencies that relied most heavily on fare box recovery have suffered the most during the pandemic. And basically referencing, it's time to think about how to change opportunity. I mean, the Pittsburgh leader observed that access to the transportation services is the baseline for success. If you don't have a car and you don't have the ability to move and be mobile, you aren't plugged in. So I don't know. I think that's basically the theme of the article. Anything stood out from you?
Yeah, no, I think you just hit it. It's very interesting, this idea of this concept around, you know, universal basic mobility and just having access to transportation, because you kind of nailed it. But there's a quote that says, you have to be pretty honest about the fact that if you don't have access to a car, you don't have economic mobility,
right,
in most cities, right? And it's true. I mean, if you can't have access to transportation to get to a higher paying job, you know, you're stuck with what's around you. I mean,
well, especially what we saw during the pandemic, and some cities shut down. Could you imagine if you didn't have the ability, if you were dependent on your paycheck and you didn't have a way to get some subsidies, which hopefully those move for those people quick, you couldn't pivot. And but then even in good times, you know, if you can't get to where the jobs are, or you can't depend on a way to transport you and your family, to access to whatever it is, school or
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's hard for me to have empathy there. Because I, you know, I have a car, but like those statements drive it home about how tough this is.
Yeah. It's wild. And it's just, what makes it even tougher is the fact that there's always other challenges that these individuals are usually grappling with, right? Because these same individuals usually don't have the broadband connections at home. So, right. And so there's a lot really hindering these communities, and figuring out the transportation aspect
it'd be really interesting to see how the models get built to fund it, so it's not dependent on the individual paying as well. Like how do you move the money to make sure it works and it's self-sustaining? So it'll be interesting to see how this evolves over time.
Yeah, I think it's been, you know, a challenge for cities for a long time, because it's very capital intensive, and so how do you do it to where people then don't have to, yeah, pay the fares? It's hard. It's hard. As the light rail goes by me right outside right now. Right. So yeah.
Cool.
Well, great stuff, Chris.
That's a wrap, everyone. Until next time, have a great Thanksgiving and happy holidays.
Yep. See you later.
Thanks for listening to The Urban Complex, Smarter Cities for a Stronger Tomorrow. Please find us on where you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. We do love your feedback. Let us know if you have ideas for guests or questions to air on Cracks in the Pavement via social media. The Urban Complex is found on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Or just shoot me an email, chris@theurbancomplex.com. Till next time.